amazing. You are amazing, God. Oh, you love me, Lord. You love me, Lord. Holy Lord, grab me so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Father, our passion is for you. Father, when we bury our head into your chest, we hear your heartbeat. God, that is our heart and our desire, to hear your heartbeat, to know you, to hear what you are saying, to sink ourselves with you, to fall into your arms and let you lead us on a divine dance. Thank you, Father. Father, we seek you, but you're not far from us. We long for you, yet you're very, very near. Father, take away the anxiousness and the hurriedness, even of this day. And help us to lay back into your arms to hear your voice. Feel your heartbeat. Aligning ourselves with you. You are our hope. You are the bread of life. You are everything. You are everything. There is no one like you. Speak to us, Lord God. Speak to us this evening. And Father, may we hear not just words, but may we hear your voice. May we sense what it is that you are saying to us individually and as families and as a church. May we hear you louder than any other voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for our brother Jerry, who's going to be speaking to us tonight. I thank you for the word that you have given to him. Now, Father, we pray for your anointing and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit upon our brother, that this word that he is about to share with us would be a word in season, a now word for us, that our hearts are open to hear and to receive and to be activated because of your presence. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. I'm so happy to welcome my brother, Jerry Cates from Big House. What a friend of this house. What a brother that he is becoming to me. Would you welcome Jerry Cates?
Hallelujah. Just beautiful to be here tonight and to feel the spirit that is in this house. And I know that you would not be here tonight if the future was not important to you, because this church has set itself to pray and to fast and to seek the Lord. And you're here on this Monday night. Tommy Tenney, famous revivalist in the Assemblies of God, used to say that his favorite meeting of the week was a Monday night meeting, because he said, only those who are serious come on Monday night. So I know that you are serious about God because you're here on Monday night. What a beautiful thing. Amen. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Father, I love this house. I love these cities. Lord, I love this region. God, you love us. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to bring us into koinonia today. Koinonia, fellowship in the Spirit. And Lord, that we would hear your heart. We would know what to do, Lord. That God, we would have confidence from you and through you, Lord, for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I was sent to this region in 1988, but it took me till 1990 to get here. The Lord walked into a motel room. I was teaching at a youth conference, actually the last youth conference of the movement I had been part of all through the Jesus movement, about 24 churches. And I was at this singles retreat, this youth retreat, and the Lord walked through the wall of my motel room and gave me a vision of this region and said, if you will move there, I will bless you. It was an Abrahamic call to get up and leave my people, my home, and to go to a place that I didn't know anything about. I had been here exactly once, and that was to film, my wife and I filmed our testimony with the Full Gospel Businessmen at CBN when it was a whole lot smaller organization than it is today, back in the 1980s, maybe back in the 70s, actually. And so we had not been a part of this region, but the Lord sent us here. It took me almost 2 years to sell a house in Maryland. There was a recession going on. I couldn't sell my house. I had no visible means of support down here. I began to build a business. And at the end of close to 2 years of time, I remember I thought, I'm within about 10 days of going into foreclosure on my house. Things are just really, really tight. And I woke up in the morning. I had slept in a field down in Great Bridge of a hunt club off of Mount Pleasant Road. And I looked, and they were building a new community called Tunbridge Station. And I looked across the field, and the Lord said, that's where you're going to live. And I went over and walked through the smallest house in that community and tried to figure out how I could buy that house and could not even fathom how I could buy that house. I had not had a single offer on my house in almost 2 years in Maryland. So what resources I had were sitting tied up in that house, and I was getting behind in my mortgage. And that night, I went to work that day. I was building a small business. That night, I went to friends in Lake James near CBN. And I got a call 11 o'clock at night from a realtor. And he said to me, Jerry, he said, you remember me? My name is Mike. Over a year ago, I contacted you and talked to you about houses. He says, I'm sorry to call you so late at night, but I'm sitting in this community. And he named the community Tunbridge Station. And he says, and I'm in a 6-bedroom, 6-bath house. This was the largest house in the community, not the smallest. And he said, these people are like you. They're those reborns. That's what he called us, reborns. And he says, and they're in trouble, and they need to sell their house, and I couldn't think of anyone to call but you. Well, to make a long testimony, quick and short, the next day I brought my wife to see the house, and that day we went back to our friends in Lake James, having seen this house, said, did we get any calls while we were out? And the lady said no. And remember phone answering machines? Her phone answering machine was blinking. So my wife walked over and pushed the button. It was my realtor in Maryland calling and saying, I know my contract with you expired yesterday, but I have a full price 30-day cash closing for your house if you want it. Now, I tell that story not just to give exotic stories. I tell that story because God will dangle you right over the fires of hell and trouble to get you where he wants you to be and for you to know that it was only him that got you there. Amen? You all understand that. That is just part of the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is not built on our accomplishments or our skills or our training or our giftings, but it is built upon God's purposes and God's heart for humanity. And when we connect to those purposes and that heart, then we are connecting to the power of God. The real power of God flows out of that heart, dream, and desire for a community. Now, for the last 2 years, I have been praying with a group of intercessors up and down Kempsville Road. By praying up and down the road, I don't mean we've gone to all the places we pray for, but we begin at Rock Church. And we pray for Rock Church because Rock Church was the great center of revival back in the 1960s and early 70s. I remember meeting Ann Jimenez at a Lincoln Mercury dealership in Silver Spring, Maryland. The man who owned it had been part of their church when he was in Virginia Beach. And she came to buy a car, and I remember what extraordinary people. And that church was the great hub of the Jesus movement. But today, a building that will hold 5,000 only has a few hundred in it. You understand what I'm saying? The revival has died and gone down the road, and God wants to renew that place. When I moved to this region in 1990, but I went back to Maryland for a year to preach revival there. And then I came back in 2001, and I bought this big old 10-bedroom house that my wife and I live in with our kids all grown called the Big House. And about that time, James Gall and Lou Engel, two very famous prophets in our land, I think probably all of you know their names, they wrote a book called Redigging the Wells of Revival. And it was about how God likes to go back to the places where he poured out his spirit, the peoples with whom he poured out his spirit, and he loves to renew or redig the well. Now, this story is in the book of Genesis. If you'll read the life of Isaac, you will find that Isaac redug the wells of his father Abraham that the Philistines and other pagans stopped up. How many of you know the devil's main business in the earth is to stop up and plug up the move of the Holy Spirit? He can't stand that God's glory is breaking out in the earth. It irks him to no end, and he does all he can to stop it, to stop the flow of life and power in the earth. So our job, according to Lou Engel and James Gall, was to renew the wells of revival. We began to have meetings in 2001 at the Big House, and I remember the second meeting we had, a lady named Debbie Kasu, who's out at International House of Prayer, she came to the meeting and she said, I was in the Jesus People movement in Norfolk. And she says, it was in a school where there are condominiums directly behind your house. It was a Catholic school. And there were 300 people that came every week to those meetings. And there were elders and leaders from different ministries all around the city. And she said there were three big old houses like your house that were the Jesus People houses. She says, I lived in the girls' Jesus People house, and I was a part of that great revival. And we knew that the Lord had sent us to redig the well of revival in Norfolk. And Big House today is still digging. You know, the devil did a lot to plug it up, and there's a lot we got to do to see it unplugged. But God is moving to do that. Beautiful thing. Now, you go just down the road from Rock Church, and you've got Kempsville Presbyterian Church. Kempsville Presbyterian, in its heyday, had about 3,000 people moving in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, it's down to 200 or 300 people. That's pretty sobering. We are praying for Kempsville Presbyterian Church. Come down the line, and you come to Atlantic Shores Church. I'm naming houses on purpose because I'm going to be getting to your house, okay? So Atlantic Shores Church, in its heyday, had about 3,000 people. It's down to a few hundred, and they've kicked all the charismatic people out. All right? Now, I'm not criticizing. Maybe a little bit I am, but I'm a little prejudiced. But you know, it's a reactionary movement that's moving away from where God is going with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear what I'm saying. Move down the road a little more, and you come to Harvest Church. Oh, Harvest Church has been a glorious church. Harvest Church has been filled with the Holy Spirit. This room has been full many times over. Great teachers and leaders have come here. Many, many people have been saved in this church. Many children have been born and raised and found the Lord in this church. And this church has had a beautiful history. I visited this church 25 years ago and said, man, what a happening place this is. Well, you're in trouble. Okay? Does anybody not understand? You're at a pivotal place in your history. Now, this is not a criticism, by the way. It's not a criticism from the Lord. It's not a criticism by me. Go just a little further down the road. You've got Greenbrier School. Greenbrier School got to be, honestly, it got to be pretty legalistic. And a lot of kids turned away from the Lord. I work at a car dealership where the young man that is the manager went to that school. He's not walking with the Lord today. The legalism dried him out, turned him off to the things of God. But today, Greenbrier School has been going through something of a renaissance and a change. And there's a new flow of life in the student body over there. It's a beautiful thing. Go down to the end of the road, and you've got Oak Grove Methodist Church at the intersection of Battlefield and Kempsville. John Wesley preached in that church. Yep, back in the 1790s, John Wesley preached in that church. You see that flow up and down this corridor? Now, what's interesting is that they've renewed Kempsville Road, and they've widened and expanded Kempsville Road. And you know what? I believe that it's just a natural picture of a prophetic picture. That God is expanding the highway. It says in Isaiah 35, there will be a highway there. It will be called the highway of holiness. And nothing wicked and unclean will be able to come up upon that highway. And it will lead to the gates of Zion. Zion is Jerusalem, but Zion really means the house of worship. The worship and the glory of God. I was listening to the beautiful worship that was flowing here tonight. I just want to encourage you, you know, in those things. So there's a move of God that is getting ready to break out in the earth again. Now, we have people here. Andy and Marguerite were like poster children for the Toronto revival. Okay, in fact, I remember when there was an article in their newspaper about love in the river. And it was all about them and their love story of coming together. And they were part of that glorious outpouring of the Lord. God is getting ready to move again. Hear my heart. God is moving again. I can tell you at Big House right now, things are just shaking and baking and rocking and rolling. And we haven't seen the revival yet. But we can feel God ramping up, God heating up, God moving forward. into where he is going. Who here does not believe that a new day is upon us? Do you believe? Put your hand up if you believe. You believe there's a new day that is upon us. And God loves old wells. He loves to get the rocks and the muck and the old tires and the broken bicycles and whatever else they threw in there out and renew the flow of fresh, clean, beautiful water of life of the Spirit. God loves to do this. Everybody goes through cycles in their life. I have been through cycles in my life. I remember when Randy Clark came to this city in 1994, and a guy said, "Can I pray for you?" And I pointed at my son, who was laying on the floor, having visions of seven of him going to the seven continents of the earth, and God telling him he would go all over the face of the earth. And I looked at him and his buddies, and I said, "This is their move, not mine." I was absolutely brain dead to what God was doing. And I missed a move of God, and I didn't get into that move of God till Randy Clark came back in 2002. Okay? I've been around the mountain more than one time in my life. So I know what I'm talking about here. I'm talking from personal experience. You can miss God. You can go around the mountain. You can have dry and dead seasons in your life. You can miss it because of sin and have to go around the mountain of God to get that cleaned out of your life and then come back for renewal. Whatever the reasons are, God is calling to his people right now. There's a trembling that's in the earth right now, crying out to the Lord, "God, come. God, move. God, renew us. Renew us in this day, oh God." Is there a hunger here? The sign says there's hunger. Hunger for the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to read some scripture here. I'm going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is about prayer and fasting. And that's what I'm talking about here, the importance of prayer and fasting. And listen, whether you're doing just a little fast or whether you're doing a longer fast, and there are people here who are called to do longer fasts, by the way. I once was part of a chain of fasting. A lady lived at my house. She was a skinny, tiny little dancer. She fasted 40 days before the Lord, told nobody, and the day she was ending her fast, I began to fast for 40 days. And the day I ended the 40 days, another friend began a fast that went 32 days. There was literally 112 consecutive days of fasting that the Lord put together in that season, and none of us knew what the other one was doing. I found all this later. You know, the Lord just brought it all to my attention. So it's really important right now, this season. And I want to encourage you. You're in, I believe, a three-day fast right now. I want to encourage people to look beyond that, to fasting a day every week. Others are called to do week fasts or two-week fasts or three-week fasts. I'm on a three-week fast right now. It's not a total fast. It's a Daniel fast, but it's pretty disciplined. And I'm doing this right now, and I feel this deep hunger for God. And we're learning that there's joy in fasting. It's not supposed to be. Everything in the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to have an element of joy to it, an element of anticipation. It says in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus went into the wilderness being led by the Holy Spirit. He fasted 40 days. He was tested by the devil. When he came up out of the wilderness, it says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to empower us for a new day. God wants to empower your life personally. God wants to save loved ones that you're concerned about. God wants to move in the community around about us. God wants to move up and down this Kempsville corridor and bring great power and renewal in the name of Jesus Christ. I am standing and believing for all of these houses, and I'm not taking no for an answer. The church where we meet today was a deader-than-dead Methodist church. And I prayer-walked around that building 12 years. It was just two blocks down the street from my house. And in 2013, in the 12th year of prayer-walking, I met a new pastor at the church, a lady. She said, "Well, nice to meet you, but we're down to 14, and the bishop is closing the building at the end of the month, and he's going to sell it. And I walked over and laid hands on the building, and I said out loud, Lord, bring new life to this old building. A week later, Dan Backens got wind of that building, and New Life Church bought the building and then said, would Big House like to move in here with us? And today, actually, Big House Church, we have about 300 coming at 4 o'clock on Sunday night, and they have about 250 coming Sunday morning. So it's been a really, really beautiful flow of ministry together, the two churches in the one house. God loves to renew things. See what I'm saying? I'm praying right now over the Open Door Chapel down on Virginia Beach Boulevard because the Lord spoke to me. Do you know that Virginia Beach Boulevard is U.S. 58? It's U.S. 58, and that is Isaiah 58, according to the Lord's word to me. Isaiah 58 is the chapter about prayer and fasting, right? In verse 12, it says this. It says, those that come from these, that is, the these are those who enter into this seeking of the Lord, this desire for cleansing, this prayer, this fasting. Those that come from these shall rebuild the ancient ruins. They will renew streets to dwell in. They will restore the waste places. The Lord spoke to me and said, what was this church before you moved into it? And he said, it was a moldering ruins. And literally when New Life got the building, they went and got these big ozone machines to put into the atmosphere of the building because the building was so full of mold, it really wasn't going to be habitable. And they renewed the building, a new roof, got rid of the mold. The ozone machine still runs in the basement to this day to make sure the basement doesn't get moldy. Go 12 miles down Virginia Beach Boulevard, and there's a place called Open Door Chapel. It will hold 600 people, and they haven't used the main sanctuary in several years. And it is a moldering ruins, but it does have a new roof on it. Go 6 more miles down Virginia Beach Boulevard, and you come to Atlantic Avenue, and you're at the oceanfront. Guess what? At 5th Street on Atlantic Avenue begins US 60. And US 60 goes up Atlantic, goes past where the cross was planted at Seashore State Park and Fort Story, and then goes out to the peninsula and goes all the way to Los Angeles, California. It was one of two transcontinental highways established in 1926. And this is what the Lord said to me. When the prayer and fasting movement and the restoration movement meets the Isaiah 60 movement, arise and shine, for your light shall come. The glory of the Lord will rise upon you. What comes up every day over the ocean at Atlantic Avenue? The sun. The Lord said, when they meet, there will be an explosion of glory and light, and it will go out and it will affect the entire nation. It will affect the nations. This region is slated for a revival that will affect this whole nation and will affect the nations. So when I pray over old moldering ruins and when I pray for churches that aren't where they were, it is this love and dream and desire that the house of God would be the preeminent house in all of the earth. It says in Isaiah, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established above all of the other hills. And God is getting ready to restore and rebuild. Now, it says in this 2 Chronicles 20, it's actually 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, and he seeks to be mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or are set toward him. Do you understand? God's looking for hearts. And when he finds the heart that has set itself toward him, Jesus said, I set my face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And oh, how I am constrained until I come into the purposes of God that are waiting for me in Jerusalem. See, God has purposes here. God has a plan here. God wants to renew and rebuild and restore his house. He wants to refresh it. He wants to change it. Now, here's the thing. You can fast and pray and still miss it. In the late 80s, I moved from Long Island, New York, to Southern Maryland, to where my best friend, who had been the best man in my wedding, was a pastor. He'd asked me to come for 3 years. He went on a 40-day fast, and at the end of the 40 days, called all of his old leadership, all of his old system in around him, and reconfirmed, reestablished the old order. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's it. This church is going to die. And in a year's time, it went from 250, ready to be 1,000, to three families. And the first family that left was mine. The Lord literally came and called me out and sent me down here to Tidewater. That man is still my friend today. I love him. And he's doing the work of the Lord today. But he couldn't make a transition. He couldn't open himself up to the new, that they could move forward into a new day, a new season. It was going to require changes that he just couldn't look to and see at that time. And it cost them, I think, a lampstand before the Lord. And he was a good man. The Lord told me to tell you that story here tonight, to tell you that God's really serious. His eyes are really going back and forth. He's really looking. He really wants to know who wants to go with him to the new day. Who will listen, humble themselves. See, I saw a humility tonight in worship. I saw this waiting upon God. I saw Harold sitting here on the floor waiting before God. I saw this people sitting and waiting before the Lord. Who wants to go with God to the new day? How many of you know the new day will be different than the old day? Okay. I was a Jesus People leader. I was one of the Jesus People leaders of the Washington-Baltimore region in 1971. And young people came from 100 miles around to our meetings. But you know what? The new movement, the new Jesus movement, is not going to be the same as that movement. It requires new leadership. It's going to require different ways. It's going to manifest itself differently, but it's the same principle. It's people getting saved, delivered from their sins, delivered from their demons, filled with the Holy Spirit, moving into the eternal purposes of God. So outward things can be different, but the heart and the spirit is the same. Hear what I'm saying. Now, I am getting back here to 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm not going to preach all night. There's an attack against the people of God. It's the largest attack they've ever faced, at least in their generation. And according to the Bible, perhaps the largest attack up until the time of the Babylonians coming, perhaps the Assyrians before them. But at this time, this is a huge attack. It's coming out of Moab and Edom and Ammon. And all of these nations, by the way, were cousin nations to the Hebrews. They were supposed to be their relatives. They weren't supposed to be trying to do them in. They were supposed to be encouraging and recognizing and living beside one another like cousins are supposed to live. And it says in verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab and Ammon, they came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And so some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, all from Syria, and they are in Hazazon and Tamar. We're in big trouble. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. This fast was so large that it was the men, the women, the children, and the babies. It's kind of like the old Neil Diamond song, Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Bring the old ladies and pack up the babies. And everybody come. And it says, Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, you're the God of heaven, and we're in trouble. But he said in verse 7, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people? And you gave your descendants, the descendants of Abraham, your friend, you gave this land to them forever." I want to tell you something. God has had friends in this house. Abraham is called in the Bible the friend of God. God has friends in this house. You know, and God remembers his friends. So he went on to say, we dwell in this land, verse 8, "and we've built you a sanctuary for your name. And you said, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, that we're to come and stand before this temple in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. And now look, here's Ammon and Moab and the Edomites, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But now they have turned and they've come to destroy us. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." You know, the devil would like to throw you out of your possession here. You know that? He'd just like to throw you out of your possession here. And so he stood before the Lord and he said, "O our God, will you not judge them? We have no power against this great multitude that is coming. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." I can say one thing right now. You don't know what to do. Okay? Am I right? You don't know what to do, but your eyes, the reason you're here tonight, your eyes are upon the Lord. And I have faith in God that he hears and he sees and he loves this people. He loves its leaders. He loves its people. He loves its children. He loves its place in this community. He loves this building. And the Lord wants to renew this place. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon, verse 14, came upon a young man named Jahaziel. And he began to prophesy. In verse 15, he said, "Listen, all of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. And listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is whose? God's. It's God's. The battle for the future. The battle for understanding. The battle for the glory of the Lord is God's battle. At the end of the day, none of us can bring it. Now, there are things we can do. There are things that we can do. We can humble ourselves and we can pray, can't we? We can seek his face. We can worship him. We can say, "Lord, our ears are open and attentive to whatever direction you would bring to us." You know, Big House is outgrowing its facility right now, and we don't know what to do. And we've pressed this way, and we've pressed that way, and we haven't gotten an answer. You know, we haven't gotten a release from God. So you know what we're doing? We're humbling ourselves, and we're praying some more. We're seeking God some more. And I have every confidence that before the day is done, the Lord will move on our behalf. Because we believe that we're doing a great work from the Lord. Every house has a mission from God. Our mission as a special center of worship, it's like shake them up, break them up. We got fundamentalists, people who don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit coming into our house, and Jack Buckingham from this church comes and sits down at the altar and he writes prophetic words and sends it to them. And they sit there next to their friend going, "Who told this man all this stuff?" And God's shaking things up. He's breaking things up. He's moving beautifully and powerfully. I love the fact that there's connection between our houses. Jack comes. Vicky comes to my prayer meetings in the morning that we have. She's a woman of two houses. And I love this connection because we're one body of Christ. And God has one dream, one desire, and that is that the glory of the Lord would fill the house and fill the land and save all these people around us who don't know their left hand from their right hand. I mean, it is a mess. And we need the greatest revival in all of history. So God right now is letting people come, in a sense, to the end of their own ways. These people were at the end of their own way. Now, I came here tonight to preach out of 1 Samuel 31 and 2 Samuel 1. And I'm just going to say this simply. I'm not going to go there and read it. Saul dies in battle. And Saul represents the old way. Okay, the old way brought a certain amount of prosperity. It brought a certain amount of glory. But at the end of the day, Saul sought his own kingdom, not the kingdom of God. And he dies in battle on Mount Gilboa. And all of his sons with him, except for, he's got a couple of sons left. He's got a grandson left. He's got a son left who, Ishbosheth, who will end up taking the kingdom. But he's a very, very weak leader. And he dies on the mountains. And the Philistines come and abuse his body and abuse the bodies of his sons and take those bodies and nail them to the wall of their city and mock the God who is God. And it says a group of men from a farming village called Jabesh-Gilead, they're just simple farmers. They march all night and they take the bodies of Saul and his sons off of that Philistine wall, bring them home, burn the bones to cleanse them because they've been defiled, and bury them under the oak tree in their city. And then the Bible says simply this, they fasted for 7 days. They got to get up and feed the cattle. They got to do this. They got to do that. They fasted 7 days. And the first verse of 2 Samuel 1 says, after Saul, David. Hear what I'm saying. After Saul, David. And a David arose. It was a new day. It was a new purpose. It was a new season. A David arose. This house has had several great leaders in it. I've honored Brother David, who has pastored here. But God's moving now, and God's saying the season of change is upon you. When you pray and when you fast, do it in faith. Truly open yourselves up and humble yourselves and say, God, send us who you want, what you want, how you want. God may raise up from within. God may bring in from without. But whatever you do, do it as a family. As a family before the Lord. See, that's what Judah did in 2 Chronicles 20. When they gathered before the Lord, they came as the family. And they came to God and they said, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I have every confidence from the Spirit that I feel in this house that a new time of visitation, a new day of glory, a new day of revival. What the Bible calls in Book of Acts, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That God can come and do these things. But listen, it may look worse before it looks better. I'm going to be honest. It may seem like you're waffling around and getting nowhere. But is your heart in it? Are you determined? Are you, God, renew us in this day. Renew your glory. Renew your people. Lord, remember my children that I've raised in this house. Lord, remember my grandchildren. Lord, I got married in this house. Lord, renew, renew, restore, rebuild, refire in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That is the word that the Lord gave me to share with you. And to tell you that in seeking the Lord, to stand before him and say, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm not here tonight to deliver personal prophecies and things, but I think we should pray, and I think that we should come and gather. Who would come? I think that we should come and we should gather. And Harold, will you come here with me, and whoever else of the leaders in the house that are here tonight? Brother, how are you doing? Good to see you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And let's just touch one another. Let's just stand as a family before God. I've come tonight as a prophet and an intercessor and a friend and a brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody feel the laugh of the Lord? What a beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just begin by thanking you, Lord, coming through our gates with thanksgiving, giving you praise, Lord, honoring you, God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God. Thank you, Lord, that you come and you shake us up periodically, Lord, that, Lord, you may redirect our steps, God, that you may bring us into new things, God. It's never your desire, Lord, to take us down and out, God. It is your desire to bring us in. And, Lord, we are here before you tonight as a people, Lord, and I totally identify with this house and with this people, God. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for our cities, for this city, God, for this corridor, God, Kempsville corridor. Lord, for this house, God, that for so many years, Lord, has been a house of glory and revival, God. Lord, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight. Let's just begin to pray in the Spirit.
Lord, of your love, the leadership of your grace, God. I will hear heaven. I will come. I will heal their land. You speak over the land right now, God. This land, God.
Yes, Lord, God.
There have been questions in the past about the land, Lord, on which this church was built. God, in the name of Jesus, we speak cleansing over this land. We speak the presence of God in this land, God. We speak the blessings, God, into this building,
God.
We speak the blessings into this body, God. We speak the blessings, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. If anyone has a prophetic word to bring, you can come and you can bring it.
While we were praying, I just saw the hand of the Lord just, the Lord, just the hand of the Lord just falling upon the church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
More Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Come on. Do it, God.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord. So that connects the move of the Holy Spirit to God's promises to the pastor who knelt on these shores in 1607. After 3 days of prayer and fasting, by the way. 3 days on the ship they were praying and fasting. And he knelt on the shore and they planted the cross and they gave the land to God. So that's a word from God saying, I want to come and answer those prayers and move in this church in connection to 400 years of history.
Thank you,
Father. Come on, Lord. More God. More God.
Okay, I have a word when I was praying, and then the Lord just kind of, showed me Zechariah 13:9. It was, I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will listen and answer them, and I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Bring them through the fire. I'll bring them through the refinings. I'll bring them through the testings. The third part. This is about the third part here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I feel like there might be one or two more.
In here, yeah, in our midst. Lord, we thank you for your river that's flowing and ever increasing. I just see an increase of the river. Thank you, Father.
I just wanted to say that God showed me while we were beginning in prayer, I come together with God in my mind, and he showed me he had a treasure box for me today. And in this treasure box, I found out through your ministry that this is the place where my ancestors were called to preach the gospel across the Americas in the 1700s. That my ancestors are the Wesleyan Methodist people that were Wesley laid hands on James Webb. I'm a descendant of James Webb. And I praise God that he's bringing the wells to life.
Amen.
Oh,
hallelujah.
The Lord says that I have called these elders for such an hour as this to stand in the gap and for you not to rely on your own auspices and your own thinking, but to rely upon me, the Lord thy God, because I've called you to stand in the gap, that you will help to funnel the power and the glory and the anointing in this place to continue in greater aspects, says the Lord. And I say to you that if you bring your plans before me, I, the Lord, will establish those plans and cause them to be fruitful and to be prosperous.
As I recall going to Israel, the old olive trees where Jesus prayed, and yet still bearing so much fruit, and that fresh olive oil will be crushed and it will be poured out upon this house, the fresh anointing oil, even as Psalms 92 says, I will anoint you with fresh oil.
So yesterday, while we were just worshiping, I had an image come to me, and then I got a verse that came with it today. As I was worshiping yesterday, I saw this house fill up with oil. It's going to sound weird, but it was filling up the entire house, and the walls couldn't contain it.
Sounds pretty awesome.
And it started to break at the seams, and it started overflowing from the doors, and it ran out the doors. And then a match was lit as it was going down the region, and it went from the region to the rest of the nation, from the country, and it's lit on fire, and people were dancing in the flames, and it didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand that. And the chapter, Isaiah 45, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures and riches stored in secret places so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name for the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen. I summon you by name and bestow you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other God apart from me. There is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Amen. Let the earth be open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it.
Yesterday, when we began, I saw wheat, sheaves of wheat that were already harvested. And then the next one was fields that were ripe for harvest. And then today when we began, I saw colorful leaves. So I asked the Lord what that meant. I said it was harvest time. And then also at that same time of harvest time is Thanksgiving. And as we give thanks, the harvest comes in. And also the name of this body, Harvest, will live up to its name.
My fortress, in him will I trust.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, as you were speaking, I don't know about you, but I felt something lift. And as our brother was just saying about thanks and giving thanks, let's give thanks to our Father and thank him for what he's doing. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are speaking to your people. Thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Father, we seek you. You are the one we seek after. You are the one that we hunger after. We thank you, Father, that you fill our thirsty mouths, Father. We thank you. We thirst for you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just rejoice in you. We thank you for what you are doing. Father, we have expectant hearts full of faith. And Father, we come against any of the schemes of the enemy to rob your plan for harvest. Father, we thank you. We've seen you move time and time again at harvest. Over the years, you've done so many things. And Father, once again, we get to give testimony. We get to give witness to what you're doing at harvest. So Father, we have hearts of expectation of what you're going to do. And Father, we're not dependent upon ourselves. We're not dependent upon our own knowledge or our own reasoning, Father. We are dependent upon your voice. And Father, may we be so sensitive to the gentle breath of your Holy Spirit that we would listen to you. And Father, we wouldn't look for men based on a criteria or a diploma. But Father, you've got the man picked out, the person that's supposed to be our senior leader. So Father, we thank you for your direction and your guidance. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would just give your people a zeal, that you would undergird them with strength, and that, Father, they would be strengthened as they begin to continue in their fasting and as they begin to seek your face. Thank you, Father. And Father, we pant for you as the deer pants for the water. Our heart and our soul desires you. And Father, we thank you that we shall be filled. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Seal these things by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord Jesus. And before we leave here, I want to ask Brother Andy just to pray blessing over Jerry and upon the ministry that has taken place through him in this house, but that God would just multiply that back to him and to the house that he serves.
Father, we just thank you for this night, and we thank you for our friend Jerry. We love him, Lord. He's a brother. We thank you for the well that's inside of him, that he's just even allowed some to leak out, and there's so much more, Lord, that you're going to use him for. We just pray your blessing on him, on Big House, on everything he touches. I thank you that he's a life laid down, Lord. He's laid down for his church and his family, but he's laid down for this region, for the body of Christ here, and for those who are going to join your body. I thank you for the passion that you've put inside him. And we just thank you again for tonight. And just pour back into him everything that he has blessed us with tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Blessings to you all. Tomorrow night, we're meeting at 6:30 again. Time of worship. We're going to have communion together. And then we're going to break our fast together with a fellowship meal. Bring something to share. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. Also, 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, prayer in the house of prayer, if you can make it, with the regulars. 5 a.m. in the blessed morning. Amen.